If you knew what your true yes was and what your true no was in all areas of your life, would you be able to choose faster and easier? What futures would those choices create? Everyone is capable of connecting to their bodies in a way to have more exuberant and joyful living now and in the future. Now, here is your host of Choosing a Different Future with Ceres.
Everyone, I'm Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo, and you're here on Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. Today's show topic is Ditching Yourself, Break Free of Codependence with my special guest, Megan Walrod. And if you're new to our show, if you're new to me, this show is all about talking about the different things that we can choose, the different ways that we can be in the world so that we can create a future that's actually going to work for us beyond what's been projected and expected of us. And if you'd like to explore any of our upcoming events, any of our groups, we do have events posted on the Empowering Light Language website, empoweringlightlanguage.com/events. Some events to look forward to and check out are the Being a Different Possibility for Families monthly complimentary calls. We have tasters for the Awakening classes and for the Living and Dying Body process. And we have the Expansive Energies group. And you can look at that at empoweringlightlanguage.com/expansiveenergies. And me, myself, I am the host of this show, obviously, but also a family and child coach where I work with an entire family to create a personalized plan so that everyone in the family can thrive, while also looking at how the bodies need to be nurtured through my body and relationship coaching. And in that vein and with that hope in mind, I've created the Living and Dying Body process with my body and the earth to contribute to as many bodies that would like to have more exuberant living. So really excited to talk about this particular topic with my guest, Megan Walrod. I'd love to introduce you to her and to the topic today. So I'm going to read our description. It says, does the age-old pattern of codependence have you ditching yourself? Abandoning what's important to you to take care of other people's needs or wants, and burying your own dreams to prioritize others' dreams? If so, you are not alone. This is a real epidemic that plagues too many modern women, but there is hope. Yay! There is a way to break free from self-abandonment and come home to yourself. I love that phrase. So in this episode, Megan and I are going to be talking about a lot of different things. She is a mentor in the art of brave living, and she'll share her own story about how she ditched herself for decades and what it finally took to end this cycle of codependency and people pleasing. And so we're going to talk about the signs that show that you're ditching yourself. We're going to look at all these different patterns. We're going to share some questions in our own journey, and then also some specific action steps that you can take to prioritize yourself and your dreams without feeling guilty. Now, a little bit about Megan. Hi, Megan. Thank you so much for being here. Hi, Megan is a mentor for successful women who aspire to live bravely and authentically. With her expertise in breaking free from codependency and people-pleasing, Megan empowers her clients to lead a life that truly fulfills them and allows them to share their unique gifts with the world. Her approach, which she calls Live Your Yes, is rooted in the belief that prioritizing joy and pleasure is the key to achieving success and attracting what we desire. Megan's guidance is invaluable for those who seek to overcome limiting beliefs and embrace their full potential. Through her mentorship, she helps women cultivate their inner strength and confidence, allowing them to achieve their dreams and lead a life that lights them up. And I want to make sure that everyone has Megan's contact information. I'll also mention it again at the end of our episode, but it's meganwalrod.com. And she has an amazing podcast that I was on talking about self-advocacy and exuberant living. And you can go to that podcast at meganwalrod.com/the show. And she has offered a beautiful free gift for us and our listeners. It's 10 ways to say yes to yourself without feeling guilty. And you can check that out by clicking on the website. And there's also a link to it on this episode's notes. And then lastly, we have Megan's private Facebook group. It's a wonderful group for brave women. It's called Brave Women, Brave Living. And the link to that group is also on this show's notes. So make sure to check that out as you're listening in. Take a moment and make sure that's bookmarked and ready to go for you to start exploring. Megan, honey, how are you? Good morning. It's a super early morning for you today.
It is. And I'm so happy to be here with you. So thank you for having me.
You rallied. You rallied. I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah, I feel like we've been in this conversation for a while. So it's really fun to bring it here, public, bring it to our communities.
Well, and it was so lovely being on your show. You provide such a beautiful judgment-free space on your show. And you've been talking to all these different brave women. I can't wait to hear about your bravery and your journey. I only know a little bit. So this, I suspect I'm going to learn some new things about you as well, which I'm really excited about. So you did this, you had this journey of a lot of people pleasing and ditching yourself. What exactly did that look like?
So I didn't realize this at the time, but it really begins as a kid, you know, as a little girl. I grew up the middle child of five kids and unconsciously felt like it was my job to take care of everyone else. And when my mom was sad or when my dad was angry, there was this internalized belief that it was somehow either my fault and also that it was my responsibility to make my mom happy and make my dad not get angry and make sure that everyone was okay. Because if they were okay, then I could be okay. And as the middle child of five, I was the mediator and the one to go along with everything. Like I didn't have strong preferences, except that I loved being outside a lot more than being inside. But there was this focus on external versus internal. And so the ditching ourself, that self-abandonment, that self-betrayal, it's so unconscious and it's learned so early on. And for me, there were certain dysfunctions in the family system that had me engaging and learning these codependent patterns. Plus, there's the cultural conditioning of, well, you're expected to focus on other people, make sure they're okay. Plus, my mom was a nurse, so it was ingrained in her too. It was like the family legacy that's unconscious and unspoken and invisible. And what so many of us don't realize until later on in life, after some therapy, is that, oh, we're repeating those patterns in our relationships. You know all about this and you work with clients with this.
Yeah. Well, and I was doing it too, as I talked about when I was on your show. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it seems like one of the ahas for me when I'm listening to you, even for myself, is as soon as you're making other people like the number one in your life, you're actually doing a disservice to you. And you're not including yourself in your care and in your life as much. It's like it's everyone else's needs are eclipsing your needs.
Exactly.
Is that accurate?
Exactly. Because there's definitely a way, and we both know this, around how to tend to others while including ourselves, while including, you know, what is important to us. Like, hey, I'd love to go get, you know, those salad bowls tonight for dinner. What would you like? Instead of, what would you like to eat? Sure, that sounds good to me. You know, it's like,
forget about the salad bowls.
Exactly. So it's that inclusion of us. And yet in, like, my marriage is a great example of where, again, these patterns are so unconscious. I was unconsciously focused on what is his vision. And I considered myself like a strong woman. And yet unconsciously, I was thinking, if I take care of you, you'll take care of me, right? So what's your vision? How can I support you in having that? So then we'll be safe. I wasn't looking at, well, what's the future I desire? What do I desire to create for myself? What is my unique contribution? It wasn't till our divorce, which served as a wake-up call, where I realized that rooted in that codependent pattern was this belief that I couldn't survive on my own. So the exclusion of ourself is so buried in this thought of survival, I need a man to survive. I need someone to take care of me. And so what I actually desire, what I am capable of, becomes so far in the back seat that I'm not even looking.
Secondary, it sounds like. It sounds like it's like tertiary, like maybe number five.
Exactly. Because there's like survival happening.
So I'm curious. So then what choices did you make that were different that created a different future for you, where you all of a sudden started to look at these limiting patterns and started having these aha moments of like, whoa, wait a minute. I haven't really been including myself in my life as much as I could have.
Well, it took a lot of support and a lot of therapy and coaching and facilitation in different ways to begin to, I refer to it as uncrossing the wires. Like there's a way that through that codependent training, through that cultural conditioning, there's a way that we learn to say yes when we mean no and no when we mean yes. So our wires get totally crossed. So in our brain, there's a way of thinking, well, yeah, this is true for me. And so it's a journey of learning to uncross those wires and the discomfort of that. And I love that this is spoken in the intro of your podcast about learning what is your yes and learning what is your no. Because when you've spent decades doing the opposite of that people pleasing, and we start to actually say yes when we mean yes and no when we mean no, it's so uncomfortable.
And it's even stretching, because it's like, you know, I love the uncrossing of the wires. In my experience, for me personally, it's almost like unbraiding, because it's, you know, with rope, there's like those bumpy bits and it's kind of rough and yes. They rub against each other. And then on top of that, it wouldn't just be for me, just two wires. It was like me, my family, and then my siblings and I are like a whole other entity. Like we still call each other the Three Musketeers. Like our group messages are labeled the Three Musketeers. Okay. So like really like unwinding that and be like, where am I in all of this, instead of having these two big, big pieces of rope that were way bigger and thicker and more scraggly and like have all these entanglements than my little thin, little wispy, little strand. Maybe it was a little silk strand. So it's strong. Silk is very strong, but it was.
Totally. There's all those. And I love that vision of the braid and the truth of that, in that there's part of that uncrossing the wires, unbraiding the braid, is recognizing, wait, is that actually my belief or my mom's? Wait, is that actually, and you talked about that story on my podcast about the intergenerational bravery and like your mom's relationship with dating or your grandma's and yours. And it's like, wait, do I believe that? Or does my dad, or does my mom, or do my siblings? Like, it's like, would the real Megan stand up? And now what's the real Megan know about this? And what do I desire when it comes to this? So it's really, after a lifetime spent looking out, it's looking within, turning all the attention in, getting to know ourselves, coming home to ourselves, that there's this self-recognition. So we can actually begin to know, wait, I just said yes, but that's feeling really untrue. So there's like this phase, and it's not like it ends. There's phase of it feeling messy and getting it wrong, in the sense of, well, I said yes, actually I need to change my mind, and learning how to have those honest conversations with ourselves first and then with others. Because just as we're retraining ourselves, we're also retraining those people that we've trained. Oh, I'm going to prioritize you first. Whatever you say, I'm going to do. It's like, oh, actually, I'm not that person anymore.
Well, it's funny you say that, because it is a retraining. I completely agree. One of the analogies I like to use with my clients is, I talk about like, well, we've been dancing this certain dance. I say it even with my parents, whatever type of clients I'm working with. So let's say with a parent, they have been doing a certain dance, and it's, let's call it the salsa with their child. And because of these, the way you've been responding so far, the modeling you've been doing, you get this dance of salsa. And then you're telling me now that salsa isn't really working for you and your family, and it's definitely not empowering your child. So you want to do like a tango instead. Guess what? It's a very different rhythm. There's different pauses and stops and starts. And so you taking the lead in this is going to be different. You're going to have to teach them these new steps. And then you get to create a whole different dance together, like a whole different future. And it sounds like you've already been starting to do that beautifully. I think we're going to continue to talk about how there's never an end to this journey of self-evolution. Yeah. But it's time for our first break. So, you are listening to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis on the Inspired Choices Network. And when we return, we will continue to discuss ditching yourself, break free of codependence with my guest, Megan Walrod. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Cedis is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Cedis. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Cedis through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com. Or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Cedis Raquel Rivas Verdejo on Choosing a Different Future with Cedis. And today our show topic is ditching yourself, break free of codependence with my guest, Megan Walrod. And make sure to connect with us on the ICN app, the Inspired Choices Network app, on any of our over 450 platforms for podcasts and TV. And our show is brought to you by Activated Liquid Collagen from LifeVantage. Liquid Collagen is a different, better collagen supplement. Get real results that you can see and feel. Check out the Activated Liquid Collagen and LifeVantage's other natural plant-based products to address anti-aging, gut health, energy, and more by going to www.cedisrivas.lifevantage.com. And before we went on our break, we were starting to discuss Megan's journey and her realizing that she was starting to replicate some of the patterns of her family members when she was looking at how to include herself or not in her relationships. And I'm curious, Megan, you mentioned that your mom's a nurse and that she had this giving nature as part of who she is and as part of her profession. Now that you are learning more about these patterns of codependence, have you all had any conversations around that? I'm curious because, as you know, me and my mom have been having a lot of conversations about this and it continues all the time. So mm-hmm. what does that look like if you've had conversations about this?
So I love this question. And a couple things. First, my mom left her body in 2016. So although we're not able to have the conversations like we're having now, we still have conversations in the other way. Mm-hmm. And yet I really began to have these conversations with my family. When I was going to graduate school to get my master's degree in transpersonal counseling psychology, which was to graduate from that program, also required us to get 30 hours of personal therapy, which was amazing, which was the biggest gift. Because if
a good idea. I wonder, is that common for most psychology programs? Because I feel like I know a lot of psychologists that didn't have that as part of their training. And that sounds brilliant.
Exactly. Which is like, how can we actually be therapists for others if we haven't done the work ourselves? So I was so grateful for it. And so I was in therapy and I was learning about being a therapist. And one of the conversations I had with my therapist before going home to visit my family for the holidays for the first time since grad school had started was, well, Deb, I said, I've learned so much about the things I don't want to do to get to break free of those patterns. Yet I'm concerned I won't know like how to do something different in those moments. Mm. And she gave me the biggest piece of wisdom, which was, here's the thing, you got to give yourself permission to pause. Like, be okay with, you didn't do the thing that you usually do. You didn't snap at this person, or you didn't immediately say yes to this person, or you didn't immediately spend 3 hours listening to this person vent about this thing. You're stopping that behavior, and now give yourself a moment to reorient and then tap in and see what comes to you. Like, it was building this trust with myself and this capacity to pause. And so that was huge. I wanted to share that. And then to answer your question, I'd go home and I got the nickname from my dad after a few visits of like stirring the pot, because I'd go home and I'd be like, so I want to talk about something. So when I was younger and we did this, da 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 da. And do you realize that's really coming from a passive place? That's passive aggressive when you do that. And so it was me attempting to not necessarily most skillfully change my family and heal them and want them to see these patterns. And sometimes I was able to have fruitful, generative conversations with them. And other times what it served me to see was, and I appreciate my family and all the ways that we've learned and grown and, you know, my siblings and parent, dad now over time. And yet for me, the big lesson was, as a recovering codependent, it's not my job to save or rescue or change or heal my family, because that's a very superior perspective and a judgment. And people heal and change and choose what they desire when they want to. Mm-hmm. And so that for me was huge. And it took a while to get. And I still have moments where it's like, okay, like, don't say the thing. Because that's part of the learning too. Like, one of my big passions and work with people is around voice and speaking our truth. And sometimes there's this moment of like, well, it's my truth to say something right now. And then thank gosh for self-awareness, because there's that moment of, yeah, but that thing I want to say is coming from a place of thinking this needs to change by them doing something different. But they haven't signed on to be a client. They haven't signed on for that change. So it's like being able to recognize when the truth is actually coming from that old pattern of trying to control.
Yeah.
And that's a biggie.
A couple of powerful things you mentioned, I just want to highlight. Like, the pause piece was really huge. I really love that you said that, because a lot of people, and especially women, we feel like we have to fill in the silences. We can't just kind of sit in the silence. And there's this, that is often a signal of our discomfort with not just the silence, but with ourselves or with the energies that we might be aware of. But those, there's so much power in those silences, because that's when our bodies can speak to us. That's when we can see if it's a yes or no to mention this thing that we're aware of, if they're willing to receive it or not. And it sounds like there was a mix of them being willing to receive it and not when you have these conversations with your family. But as you're mentioning this about the pause, it also makes me think of a workshop I just took, the NABO. It's the National Association for Women Business Owners. And they had a workshop here in Charlotte. And the presenter mentioned this phrase that I was like, it's like the universe knows I'm talking to Megan this Friday. And it was about codependent business. And recognizing if your business can't run without you, if you're relying on any one product, if it can't just do its own thing and you're worrying all the time about it more than your own health and your own well-being, and there's a bunch of other criteria of a codependent business, but any of those have been relevant of the ones I've mentioned, then you probably have a codependent business. And one of the things that I got when she said that was like how powerful a pause as you reframe your business, you change your business model, you hire new people on, whatever it is, so that you can have it be less and less codependent over time. It's not like codependent to independent. It's there's a spectrum and you move along that on your way to having a business that is sustainable and can flourish without you.
Yeah.
And so I just, that was one of the things like, oh, that's right. I just had that aha and I wanted to make sure to mention it. Now, here's the trickiness. So after you started to realize, hey, I don't need to fix and save and help my family, which for our listeners, check out the episode of Are You Functioning from a Fixing, Saving, Helping Mentality? Because that's exactly what Megan's talking about here, and it'll add and complement this discussion beautifully. But on top of that, I'm wondering if as you were talking about your with your family about these ahas, what how did you know when to say something and when not to say something to them? Like, what were the signals to you that helped you honor that you wanted to have a voice? This is really important to you. Speak your truth, but also honor and respect where they were at.
Great inquiry. And to be totally honest, I feel like I'm still in that inquiry because as I continue to change and grow and they continue to change and grow, two things come to mind that help me that could help listeners too. One is checking in with, like, can they receive this? Mm-hmm. Like, is this actually something that can open up our conversation or not? And it's not coming from a place of avoidance or defending. It's more of a kindness of, can they receive this? Because if not, if I got that they can't receive it and I still say the thing, that's actually, there's a phrase that describes that I learned from a coach years and years ago. That's like a forced receiving. Ooh. And there's like pushing something on someone that's like, here, take it. Here, you got to do something with this. And it's like this, no, I know what's better for you. I'm going to give this to you. You should do something with it. I don't care that you don't know what to do with it right now. This feedback, this reflection, this information, whatever it is, that's like forcing someone else to receive something that they're not able to. So,
well, and for me, as you know, as you're saying this, and I'd never heard that phrase before, but so it's really powerful and seems very, very accurate. Thank you for adding that in.
Yeah.
It seems very much like a violation. And even before I was sexually violated, I would never like that, let alone after. Like, I was like, I have no interest in somebody forcing themselves on me in any way, be it intellectually forcing themselves on me, mentally, emotionally, all of that. I'd like consent with any aspect of that. And I feel like one of the things with codependence is that a lot of people don't think about consent around anything beyond the physical. And from what you're saying, it sounds like people need to sign on for even these discussions.
Exactly. Yes, consent is huge. And so the other thing that I was going to offer is I've learned and I'm learning how to say things like, or ask things like, well, would it be okay if I shared an idea I have about that? Or would it be okay if I shared what I'm hearing in that? So it's giving them choice and it's inviting consent before I share the thing. So then they can say, actually, no, I don't want that right now. I just want to be seen in this. Or actually, yeah, I'm kind of curious what that would be. And so it's, again, creating some more space and a pause before jumping in with something. Because part of my own kind of like wiring, codependence, I'm a 2 on the Enneagram 2, which is like, if you're familiar with that system and paradigm, it's like,
I'm an 8.
Okay.
About that another time. Yes.
Okay. As the 2, I like have learned this way of being of, well, I can see. And here's the thing about this too, about all of this that we're talking about. There are superpowers that we've learned, ways of being we've learned how to be in within the dysfunction, within the codependence, that can look like, you know, being very empathic, being very aware of what people are going through, what their needs are, what can help them shift. And yet when we're excluding ourselves and unaware of these patterns, we take it all on, we feel it's our responsibility, all the things that I was saying. Yet when we're bringing self-awareness to it and willing to uncross the wires and learn different skills and ways of communicating, listening to our bodies, speaking with others, it's like we can learn that, we can use that superpower to create more for everyone.
Yes.
Instead of doing it against us. And so that's a huge piece. I kind of went off in a different direction.
we're going to talk more about that this time for our next break. You are listening to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, with myself, Cedis, on the Inspired Choices Network. And when we return, we will continue to discuss ditching yourself, break free of codependence with my special guest, Megan Wellrod. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Cedis is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Cedis. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Cedis through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com. Or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Cedis Raquel Rivas Verdejo, and you are listening to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis. Oh, gosh. And today we've been talking about ditching yourself, break free of codependence with my guest, Megan Wellrod. And our show is brought to you by Activated Liquid Collagen from LifeVantage. Liquid collagen is a different, better collagen supplement. Get real results that you can see and feel. Check out the Activated Liquid Collagen and LifeVantage's other natural plant-based products to address anti-aging, gut health, energy, and more by going to www.cedisrivas.lifevantage.com. And it's also in our show notes. And before we went on break, we were talking about some of the signs to know that you are ditching yourself and some of the questions you can ask to create a different future. Now, Megan, I really love what we've been talking about so far. And I know that you, with your coaching programs and with your business, that you've been able to start inviting people to change those patterns to create more for themselves and their loved ones. And so I'm wondering if there are any other signs that we haven't already mentioned that are an indication to somebody, hey, I am functioning from codependence. Hey, I am ditching myself. Let me go, wake up, and then start shifting and pivoting to something else.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one big sign I want to share. And I also just want to bookmark, I'd love to talk more about business and what you were talking about before the break about that codependence with business, because I feel like that would be really rich. So one of the biggest signs that we're ditching ourselves, that we've actually been saying yes when we mean no, and no when we mean yes, in other words, people pleasing, is resentment. Because resentment is like that buildup of, I don't want to do that thing, or I'm not feeling appreciated, or why does she get to do that? Or why do they get to do that? And I don't. And what I love to invite my clients and what I've used myself to my own personal journey is whenever there's resentment, like we can boil in it for a little while. So this is where self-awareness and tracking our experience helps, because we can be like, okay, I'm feeling resentful. This is a signpost that somewhere I've crossed my wires. I've been people pleasing. I've been ditching myself. I haven't really been tapping in with what's true for me. What am I desiring here? What would I like to create here? And that can show up in our personal relationships, in our professional relationships. And it can stay with us if we're not willing to shift it. That resentment can just bleed into everything and take us down.
Is it like the frog? You know how they talk about when the frog is boiling? Like if you just do it incrementally, it just sits in the boiling water and dies. And it's kind of like resentment. Like it'll be slow, like a slow boil. You don't even realize that you're getting boiled to death until you're like, how did I get here? You're almost at the end of the point of burnout or overwhelm and toxicity, where you're like, and I'm out. It's like, wait a minute, we could have had all these other mini steps before then where we jumped out of the boiling water.
Totally. That is such a great example. It is exactly like the frog, and it's like all those what seem like small choices. Well, I'll just do it this once. I'll just stay later this once. I'll just work a little longer this once. I'll just give a little longer session this time. I'll just give them a special discount on that this once. But then that all builds up, and it's like, and so what can be another sign is when that's built up, when we're that frog in the boiling water, there can be this feeling of we're at the effect of others. And we might call that the victim consciousness, where I don't feel like I can change it. Everyone else has more power than I am. I mean, look, I'm a frog in this boiling pot of water. And
look at me. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, like, exactly. And so, and I know this place so well. I know that victim. I know how real it can feel, how powerless we can feel, how hopeless. And after all those small choices, it can seem like the only way to change it is to make some one big, dramatic, drastic move. Like, I'm going to leave all of you. I'm going to quit all of this, because the only way to prevent my burnout or prevent my, you know, going crazy is to leave all of you and like burn it to the ground, you know, before building something new again. And it's like, this is where moving into like how to create these changes, there can be a few different steps to that. But before I get to that, I just want to pause around if there's anything you wanted to add about those signs, about feeling
well,
that.
I'm actually wondering like if one of the things you're going to mention right now, because we are often very tapped in when we talk, is how this looks like with business, because you wanted to talk about business. I realized that even interpersonally, I didn't ever think of myself as a victim, even when I was technically a victim and I was raped and all the different breakups and things with my boyfriends. But where I did feel like a victim was with health and with business. Mm. And I would often go into, oh, it's because this people are reliable and because the clients this, and pointing externally to all these other things instead of what can I change to have a business that's actually going to thrive, that actually works for me, that nurtures my body. So what are the choices that and the possible steps that people can take so that they can actually move from that water, the being a frog in the water boiling, and these micro decisions? Because it seems like from what you're saying, the micro decisions and choices can either lead you to what you'd like more and more, or those micro decisions can lead you toward that resentment and the toxicity and those problems that you then look up and you're like, how did we get here?
Totally. Yeah. So a couple things. One, the whole thing about the business and like the, they, that's another sign of like the blame, like blaming others or even blaming ourselves. Like that's again, a great signpost for, okay, I've left myself here. Now let's tap into myself, because there's potency in there beneath the blame, beneath the resentment. But if we just stay with that, that feeling, that thought pattern, we're missing out on it. So when we tap in the potency, so with business, to answer your question, there's the question of what do I desire to create? Like, because one of the things that can happen when we're in that situation of I don't want this, sometimes we find our way to getting to what we do want by knowing what we don't want. And it can be messy. And so it's like permission to experiment, permission to be messy, permission to explore many different things, permission to acknowledge the perfectionist who feels like she needs to get it right. They need to get it right. And like be willing,
right, doing it.
And like be willing to just experiment and then start to see. Because one of the things that I was seeing with entrepreneurs a lot of the times was like this hyper adrenaline, stressed out feeling of I had a launch plan that we've got to launch by this date, but these things out of my control occurred. And now I feel like I've got to stay up and like for the next 24 hours to be ready for that. And it's like, this is one example where it's like, okay, this is your business. Mm-hmm. I get the importance of wanting to uphold certain dates and timelines, but at what cost? Mm-hmm. If that means you are working straight 24 hours, not including your body in your choices, what's that going to create for you? Mm-hmm. And so again and again, it's looking at what do you desire to create? That helps us recognize, oh, I am the creator of my reality. It gets us tapped into, oh, what are my preferences? And it gets us tapped into, I am in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. What choices can I make now to move me towards that?
Well, and I think the other side of that, because we both have businesses where it's really valuable for us to do business with integrity.
Yes.
And so we're walking the talk, right? We're not going to just say this stuff and then we're not actually using these tools. We're not actually having success with this and having success with our clients using the things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of responsibility. We care. We care about showing up. We care about valuing people's times. They signed up for this thing. They paid this money. I should be there. I should deliver on my end because I said I was going to. That's the integrity. And there is also this piece that has been super, super important that I've, even in the last couple of weeks, I've been really, really having to navigate and look at. And it's being willing to disappoint people. I would do everything. I would function from a lot of dishonoring of me in order to not disappoint people, because I was twisting this idea of integrity and using this concept of integrity to abuse me and my body, instead of being like, what if I use my communication skills, willing to be vulnerable and say, hey, this is what's going on. I absolutely apologize. I honor your time. I know you signed up for this. I know we said this date. We're going to have to move it to this date. Or, hey, how about I give you this free gift as we work out these kinks about this thing, and recognize that I'm not delivering on exactly what I said I was going to deliver on, but I am delivering on communicating about it and what's going on. And they're still going to get it if it's still possible to have it, depending on all the moving pieces. But that piece of like being willing to disappoint people has been a really, really tricky journey for me. Have you noticed that as a part of your detoxing of codependent patterns?
Hugely. And I love that word detoxing, because that's exactly what it can feel like. And the whole disappointing. Absolutely. I actually wrote an article that I believe is available starting today on the show notes all about it. It's called Why Do I Feel So Guilty When I Prioritize Myself? And I share
hearing it again. I know you told me and I'm like goosebumps. I read it. I'm going to have to read it again because I'm like, yep. That everybody needs it.
Yeah. And so why do we feel so guilty? And I go into the four big reasons and I share my story about my own huge aha about disappointment. So I won't, so I'll let listeners read that to hear that about disappointment. Mm-hmm. And yet what I want to speak to that you're sharing about the integrity piece within that, the use of our communication skills to that willingness to disappoint someone, like that is a question that lives in us as a business owner, as a woman of her word, in integrity, being in integrity with myself. It's like, how do I navigate when something's changed? Mm-hmm. And to remain in alignment with myself, I need to change agreements with someone else. Yeah. And that requires those communication skills to recognize I need to update our agreements.
Yeah, just update. It's not like you're tossing it, like you're like, you're pissing all over it, like it wasn't valuable the first time. We're just tweaking it. Just making some tweaks. Not a big deal, but it's time for our next break. This, I feel like that last part just went by in a blink. Oh my God. So you're listening to Choosing a Different Future with CDs on the Inspired Choices Network. And when we return, we will continue to discuss ditching yourself, break free of codependence with my guest, Megan Wellrod. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Ceres, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Ceres is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you. This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Ceres. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Ceres through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com, or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo. I'm Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. And today our show topic is ditching yourself, break free of codependence with my guest, Megan Wellrod. And so before we went on break, we were talking about some of the signs of you being codependent, including not just in your personal relationships, but with your business, and some of the ahas that Megan and I have experienced around disappointment. And make sure you check out her article on that that's in our show notes, where she discusses her journey around that and the signs that she knew, okay, she was ditching herself and what she could choose differently. I wanna also mention to everybody how you can reach out to Megan. You can go to her website at meganwellrod.com, and she has the Megan Wellrod Show is her podcast. And I was on it talking about self-advocacy and exuberant living. And she has a wonderful private Facebook group called Brave Women, Brave Living. I'm in that group as well. We get to chat in there. The links to that group are on the show notes. And you can also check out her podcast on meganwellrod.com/the show. And you can get a free gift on 10 ways to say yes to yourself without feeling guilty by going to her website. So to go ahead and check that out. It's really, really yummy gifts. Thank you so much, Megan, for sharing those gifts with our listeners. I really, really appreciate it. And I've really been loving this discussion so far. So one of the things that I also want to make sure that people know about, and then maybe Megan can mention some last notes around this, because I think that this next episode that's coming up is actually something that resonates exactly with what we're discussing and with Megan as a person and a professional. Our next episode is 1,000 ways to say no and break free from codependence. What are the signs that you're in codependence? What if relationships could be a co-creative process where they could be mutually beneficial for everyone involved? In order to have your fantastical voice and be true to yourself, it's important to know how to say no. And yet it's one of the hardest things for us to do sometimes, especially if we haven't had great models for how to do it. In order to respect yourself and love yourself and those you'd like to have true loving or intimate bonds with, this is an essential skill. And so it's also a continuation of bridging the gap between codependent and co-creative relationships episode that we did. It's not required to check that one out first, but we're going to be talking about that. And I wanted to mention that next episode earlier than I usually do, because I feel like Megan knows something about saying no that she could chime in on now. So Megan, what do you know about the importance of knowing how to say no? How's that shown up in your life?
Oh, so many ways. and I just want to say too, I love that you're doing an episode about 1,000 ways to say no.
Yes, and no.
That's amazing. And the free gift on my website, how to say yes to yourself without feeling guilty, also goes into some examples too, like literally how to say it. So great compliments to each other. So
that's just how we do here, Megan, right?
Exactly. I love this energy so much. So for me, oh my gosh, I mean, how it shown up for me was there's a way that saying no felt mean. It felt unkind to others. It felt like I was withholding my love. So I went through this period of time when I was learning about setting boundaries. Because what is a no, but it's a boundary. And in codependent, enmeshed, dysfunctional family systems, there usually aren't boundaries. We're all kind of in the merged field together. And so someone saying no and setting a boundary is startling. It's like, what do you mean you're not going to go with us? What do you mean you don't want to do what we want to do? What do you mean I can't do that thing I've always done with you? What do you mean it's time for me to get off the phone now because you have things to tend to? No, I want to keep talking to you. So it's like a no can seem so impossible. And so I just want to acknowledge that, because I know for me, it took me a long time to get comfortable with the no, and it created some ruptures in relationships, like specifically with my sisters. There was a period of time where I was the one that they could come to and talk to about things. And I love my sisters and they're amazing. And I was kind of like the in-house therapist. And yet I got to a point where I just wasn't available to, I didn't want to be available for those. And so in my messy attempt to set a boundary, I just wouldn't answer the call. Oh, okay. It just wouldn't be available.
Which is really common for a lot of women, including with dating too. Like they'll just kind of ghost away or that fade away instead of explicitly having the conversation around, hey, I'm not interested anymore. I don't think we're a good fit. And a lot of that seems to be like patterns that we've told about safety too. Like a lot of times when we say no to men, then there is violence. There's the risk of violence. And so even if we're not in the same physical space with them, we worry about that being the case.
Yeah.
Really quickly in a succinct way, because we're running out of time. Yeah. What happened with your sisters in as you were shifting that and learning to do those boundaries and putting those boundaries?
It was building trust within myself that I actually knew how I could say yes and no in the moment and in the dynamic intimacy of being in relationship. I could say, listen, I've got 30 minutes today. So yeah, what's going on? Talk to me. And then as I got closer to the 30,
that's wonderful.
Yeah. Or I've got 5 minutes or I've got 15 minutes. What's up? And then upholding my own boundary. Listen, I love you. I've got to go. We can check in later. And hanging up. And so it's that building trust with myself, setting boundaries in that way, and recognizing it's the hugest kindness to ourselves to have those boundaries. And when communicated in that way, it can be the biggest kindness for them as well. Because ultimately it is. Ultimately it is.
It really is. I completely agree. And just a lot of people think that by choosing yourself and honoring yourself, you're choosing against someone else. And I think that's one of the beautiful things that I've gotten from our discussion today is that actually isn't the case. You can actually be honoring yourself and respecting them at the same time, and that you're loving everyone involved so that we can all have a greater future. One of the things that I love about our discussion that I wanted to highlight is thank you so much for your vulnerability and for you sharing your journey. I think that it's way more impactful for people to realize that the people that they could reach out to for support actually have gone through the messy as well, and they're on the other side. And you've been highlighting some beautiful breadcrumbs that some people can follow if they so choose. So reach out to Megan. Thank you so much, everyone, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the Choosing a Different Future show. Series returns Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Mountain, and 7 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, keep choosing what will work for you and your body, your own unique way honoring what will work for you.